Welcome, welcome. Welcome back to part two of our mini-series, A Hidden Truth. Who are the real Jews? Who are the real Israelites? If you haven't heard part one, I strongly advise that you do, because there is a lot of valuable information that I will be referring to, and it is a great supplement to what is in this episode. Overall, we expounded on evidence that showed that the Ashkenazi Jews, which make up between 80 to 90% of the world Jewry, actually are European and not the children of Israel that are the focus of the Old and the New Testament scriptures. In addition to that shocking information, we showed that Judaism, the national religion of the Israeli state, is derived from the doctrine of the Pharisees, who Christ, an Israelite from the tribe of Judah, who was deemed the Messiah from the Most High God of Israel, warned us specifically against. Refer to Matthew chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. Simply put, the Ashkenazi and Polish Jews known as Israelis are imposters, and the fake Jews that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and also chapter 3 and verse 9. Overall, if you have any questions about what I've said, check our last podcast. It should be A Hidden Truth Part 1. But for those of y'all who are here and ready to listen, let's jump on in. So, in last week's episode, we went over a lot of information that showed who the Jews aren't. However, our focus today isn't on who the Jews who are claiming to be of Semitic descent are, but the actual Semitic Jews who may not even know that they're Jews. We will use historical, factual, and prophetic information to prove who the true children of Israel are. And I will give you a warning, if you do not know this information already, you will be shocked. The first point of evidence that I am going to go to are the curses of Deuteronomy 28 mentioned in the Bible. For those of y'all who may have had a Christian upbringing, this book is in the Old Testament, which I will say applies directly to the New Testament as well. So keep your eyes and your ears open, even if you're someone who only believes in the New Testament or doesn't believe in the Bible at all. I think the information that I'm bringing out will be very shocking when it comes to the accurate depiction that it brings of who the true Jews and Israelites are. So even though this is biblical information, it is also historical and prophetic. So these curses and blessings that are mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28 were based on and contingent upon the obedience of the children of Israel to the laws of God. Many of these curses are recurring, considering the children of Israel are constantly erring and making mistakes from following God's commandments. The recurrent nature is explained in 2 Esdras chapter 5, verse 42. This states that the Most High will liken his judgment to a ring. Like as there is no slackness of the last, even so there is no swiftness of the first. This is ultimately saying that all of Israel will experience this judgment, whether it's 4,000 years ago or today. Disobedience is disobedience, and obedience is obedience. So, back to the curses of Deuteronomy 28. These words were spoken by Moses, who was being used by the Most High to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it states a list of blessings and curses that would come upon the children of Israel, whether or not they hearken unto his commandments. He starts off by saying, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all of these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. So the simple explanation of this situation is, if they keep the commandments, they're going to be blessed in every single way possible. Having the Most High God, the God of Israel, as their God, I mean, keeping the commandments, doing the right thing, things were going to be blessed for them. However, in verse 15 of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, he states what would happen if they didn't follow the commandments. And it goes as following. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, as I read these curses, I want you to think about what group of people connects to these curses on earth. For me, I already have that in mind of who it is. I've done the research. It all makes sense to me now. But just to be unbiased from this perspective, I want you all to connect the dots in your own head as I read these curses, and you tell me what group of people this sounds like. Some of the curses go as follows. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kin and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. As you can see, a lot of these curses are basically just the opposite of the blessings that were stated in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. But they go a little bit deeper with these curses. And this is where I really want you to pay attention and use your deductive reasoning to figure out who these people are. Starting from verse 25, it says, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and shall flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. This is saying that they're going to be sent to all different nations, all different countries that are in the earth. All right, let's think about the people who may have been sent to all different countries, especially in terms of slavery, and we'll go into that, how that's mentioned in here as well. Verse 26 says, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the field, and no man shall fray them away. And the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noondays, and as the blind gropeth in darkness, and shall not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. So as we can see, there's going to be some pretty harsh treatment for the people who don't hearken on to the voice of the Most High. One thing I want to focus on is this one right here in verse 26. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. We need to think back to a specific time in history, specifically slavery in America, when black men, black women, and black children would be hung on trees and basically left until they were eaten by whatever was there. So that could be, I don't know, whatever animals were coming around. Some of them were fed to alligators. Some of them were just thrown and having their bodies eaten by any animal that was available. So that's one thing that connects to this. But let's go down to verse 29. It says, thou shalt grope at noondays, and as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. When we're looking at the African-American community and the communities of the Afro-Hispanic, Afro-Latino communities as well, there's a lot of oppression that goes on in these communities that keeps them from being prosperous in their ways. When we look at the people who are Jews right now in Israel, they are not being oppressed in their ways. They have a lot of money. They are very prosperous. They're very wealthy. Verse 30 says, thou shalt betroth the wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. When it's talking about a wife and another man lying with her, we know that rape was very common throughout slavery in America and throughout Central America. It says, thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. A very simple and easy explanation of this is the fact that slaves built so many buildings and things like that that they actually even built the White House. But as you can see, they didn't actually get to inhabit that. They just built it for the politicians of today. And then it says, thou shalt plant a vineyard and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. This is a direct correlation to the plantations that the slaves were working on and the fact that they were planting, growing, doing all this stuff, but they were not benefiting from what was there. Next, we'll jump down to verse 32 of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. It says, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. A direct correlation for this is when during slavery, a lot of the women and men, when they were going to be sold at the auction block as slaves, they would separate the mothers, the fathers, and the children into all different places. So this is a clear representation of how this prophecy is being played out, at least in the Afro-Latin American and the Afro-American communities. Verse 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. Let's think about it even today. The African American community, the black community, they have literally, and also the Native American community as well, the stuff that they've grown, the stuff that they've done, they don't have complete ownership over, because the Europeans came and took over all the land. So we gotta think, the fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not, they shall eat them up, and thou shalt be only oppressed. Come on, y'all gotta be putting two and two together right now. Who else could this be? Now we're gonna jump down to verse 37. It says, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. We think about this in many instances, but basically a proverb, a byword, and an astonishment. This is a form of entertainment. This is a joke. This is a laughingstock among the nations where he'll drive us. And when we look at the entertainment scene, we look at athletes. It's merely a form of entertainment, and it's most of the athletes that are most popular today, comedians, actors, and things like that, are African American, Afro Latino, things like that. Let's continue to connect the dots. Verse 41, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. We know that Black Americans, Black Afro Latinos, and things like that are incarcerated at much higher rates than any other race. So it says here, people wonder why. This is the reason why, because of the disobedience to the laws of the Most High. Verse 43, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Let's look at the dynamic between white America and Black America. And not just in America, this oppression happens in all other countries too when it comes to European versus so-called Afro descent. If you notice, they call African Americans African Americans, but they don't know what part of Africa they're from. The reason for this is because they weren't actually Africans. They were sold by Africans because they were residing in Africa. If you go back to my first episode, it'll show you how the people who were in, well, the Jews who fled from Israel, they fled, over 1 million Jews, into Africa, established places to live. And then once slavery came around, they were sold by the native Africans to the European and Arab nations, which is why so many Afro-Americans, Afro-Latinos are in religions such as Christianity and Islam, because those were the people who bought them, Christians and people who were Muslims. So we got to think about how these religions play into these curses as well. So there are many curses mentioned in this chapter. I suggest that you read all of them so you can do the research yourself. However, I'm only going to jump to two more. So we've got verse 48 of chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. It says, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put an iron yoke, a yoke of iron, upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. I'm going to put a picture of a man in an iron yoke so y'all can see how clear these prophecies have played out. There's only been one certain nation who has been removed into all nations of the earth, had iron yokes around their neck, and served their enemies in a nakedness, in thirst, and in hunger. I'm going to let you all do the math. So the last one that I'm going to bring up is verse 68 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, and the Most High shall bring thee into Egypt again. Keep in mind, Egypt in this sense is not talking about the actual land of Egypt. It's talking about the state of bondage. If you don't know, in Exodus of the Bible, it talks about the children of Israel being captives in bondage in Egypt. That was their first captivity. So he says here that he will bring thee into Egypt again with ships. When you go into the Greek, this word is referring to merchant ships. So we got to think about what group of people was taken into bondage on merchant ships. And I'll continue. And it says, by the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bond men and bond women, and no man shall save you. So, looking at this last scripture, it's saying that the Most High is going to send us into bondage again with ships. And we're going to be sold to our enemies for bond men and bond women, slave men and slave women, and no man shall save you. So we have to think about it. What group of people was taken on ships into all nations of the earth and sold as slave men, enslaved women, and no man was able to save them? So we have to think about it and do that math there. So when it comes to the curses, I suggest you open up your Bible, get a Bible app, and read that for yourself, because you might even find things that I didn't even mention here. But I think it's very clear who that's pointing to. The Afro-Americans, so-called Afro-Americans, and the Afro-Latinos who were sent on slave ships and removed into all nations of the earth are the true children of Israel. I also want to add too that there were Negroes. I say Negroes because it's not the same as African, but there were Negro Israelites that were removed into all nations of the earth. So they're actually in all four corners of the earth too. Next, I'm going to address the topic of why this is important. Some people may be thinking, okay, so what? Black people are the Israelites. Afro-Americans, the so-called Negroes, are the Jews. All right, so what does that even mean? Didn't Christ die for everyone? Well, let's look into the scripture and see what we can find when it comes to the importance of being an Israelite in the Bible. So first, we're going to look at Christ for people who may be Christians out there who have familiarity with Christ. This is what it says about Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." His name actually wasn't Jesus, but I'll go with that for the sake of this reading. And it says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Now we have to remember, Christ was an Israelite. He is coming to save his people from their sins. Now we'll go more and more into detail about this. So Christ came to save his people from their sins. Let's see what else they say about Christ's mission. So in Matthew 10 and 6, actually 10 verse 5 and 6, he's talking to the apostles and he says, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So he is sending his disciples to go speak to the children of Israel. Why? Because he came to save his people from their sins. So some people may think that I'm taking these scriptures out of context, but we can go to the Apostle Paul to get a better clarification and another validation on the fact that Christ came for the Israelites. So here it says in Romans chapter 9 verses 3 and 4. He says, "For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." For those of y'all who don't know, Paul was actually an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin. You can read that in chapter 11 of Romans. He then says, "My kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of the Most High and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came." This is a clear example that this entire Bible talks about the covenants, the adoption, the giving of the law, the service of the Most High, and the promises all pertain to the Israelites. I'm hoping you can put the pieces together on why it's important that we know who the Israelites are, and that if you are an Israelite and you didn't know, what you have to do to be able to be in line with what's written in the scriptures. So in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, Paul's writing to the Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, he says, "Behold," he's quoting Jeremiah. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Most High, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Most High. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Most High, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So again, this is Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 10, where he's quoting the prophet Jeremiah on who the new covenant would be for and what he would do. The reason why he made the new covenant with them was because the priests who were supposed to be giving the law to them were not doing a good job, basically. So instead, he brought Christ as a priest for the Israelites and said, instead of writing the laws on a tablet, I'm going to write them on your hearts so that you all can remember them everywhere you go. For those of y'all who may have been raised in Christianity, those of y'all who may have been raised with a broad idea of who Christ was, who Jesus was, one, we have to think that Christ was from the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah is obviously one of the tribes of Israel. And when we think about those curses, we know that those apply to people who are of Negro or Afro descent. So we have to think, Christ was not a long, brown-haired, blue-eyed white guy. He was a black Negro Israelite from the tribe of Judah. This is the same reason why they hid in Egypt. His dad, Joseph, hid in Egypt to keep him away. Why? Because they could blend in Egypt. Because the Egyptians were black just like the Israelites. So, those of y'all who may have been raised in Christianity, you may be confused and thinking, well, I thought this Bible was for everyone. You got to realize that Christianity is solely a religion that was created by the Romans, who ended up taking hold of this book after a certain amount of time. Once they sieged the Temple of Jerusalem in 70 AD, there were a lot of Jews who were still in, you know, the Roman society. So they used their book, their doctrine, to create a religion. Keep in mind, this is why a lot of the things that are written in Christianity, they tell you don't have to follow the law, but that's not true at all. But they use this book not to follow it to a T for truth, but to use it as religion. A common thing that Christians will say to justify not being under the law is that we are not under the law, but rather under grace. But when we go to Romans chapter 6, verse 1, which was written by Paul, who said that same thing about being saved by grace and not by the law, he says, "So shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid." So that simply means no. So he tells us multiple times that we're not allowed to sin now just because we're saved by grace. It's something that grace is just in place so that we don't have to die instantly like we had to do under Moses' law when we commit sin. We have the opportunity to repent and change our ways and change our actions. Christianity has also changed the idea of what sin is. They think sin is just the idea of doing something evil from a worldly sense. But we have a clear definition of what sin is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, "Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So sinning is transgressing the Torah. It is transgressing the law of the Most High. The only thing Christ came to change was our priesthood. He now serves as the priesthood for Israel. Why? Because the Levites who were in charge were not upholding the law, and their sacrifices, their animal sacrifices, weren't keeping us from sinning again. So what did the Most High do? He sent his son down, his only begotten, so that Israel could actually serve the Most High in the fullness of the Spirit, so that they don't have to have that excuse of messing up and just giving an animal sacrifice. But now that Christ sacrificed himself one time, now we have no more excuse to sin. So those of you listening right now who, y'all may be, I don't know what race you are, there is a little bit of leeway for people who are not Israelites, who are not born Israelites. However, it comes with the same price that Israelites have. If you want to be saved, you have to follow the law of the Most High. If we go to Revelations 22 and 14, this is Christ speaking. It says, "Blessed are they that keep the commandments, that they might have right to eat from the tree of life." So this is something that from the beginning to the end, we're going to have to do is keep the commandments. And for those of you that might pray, that, you know, say you love God, say you love the Most High, there's only one way to really prove that, and that is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." His commandments are written all throughout the Bible. And you have to remember, Malachi 3 and 6, the Lord does not change. The Most High does not change, and he doesn't go back on his word. We knew there was going to be a new covenant from the beginning. Moses talked about him. All the prophets talked about him. So it isn't anything new. So now we have to remember, the law is still intact, but our sacrifice system, we don't have to gather goats and bulls and stuff like that to be able to be forgiven for sins. However, we cannot willfully sin. If we go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6, it says this. Actually, it'll be Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." So we have to remember what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. However, now that we have the knowledge of that, we have the knowledge that Christ is our sacrifice, we cannot sin willfully. Why? Because then there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So for those of y'all who are listening right now, y'all may have just found out y'all were Israelite. If you're from Negro descent, you know, people call you black if you claim to be black, and you're experiencing these curses in your communities of, you know, you should read Deuteronomy 28. But just the idea of your family being incarcerated, the idea of a lack of structure in the community, the idea of us being oppressed, all these things, it relates directly to us for a reason. Why? Because it's us. And if you look up more and more, you will find that this is the truth, that black people are the Israelites of the Bible. And this doesn't mean you had to be very dark skinned, because over many generations, people have mixed and mingled with a lot of different races. But if you're seeing these curses in your community, then you'll know that you are included as an Israelite in this book. So what do you have to do? Keep the commandments of the Most High. Keep the Sabbath. This is on Saturday, not on Sunday. You'll see, Christianity is going to tell you that you don't have to follow the law. But as you can read in the scriptures, that's not true at all. Christ, Paul, the Most High, everybody would tell you to follow the law. And if you want to learn more about it, you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit for discernment, so you can read that word for yourself and see what it's truly saying. But overall, I'm about to finish off there. I'll definitely do some more episodes talking about it, but I know I've got some interviews and things coming up where you can hear other people speak about their journey for themselves, coming into this understanding, coming into this truth. And most high willing, you can see that what I'm telling you, it's not just a lie. I've only been quoting Bible scriptures, and you can read them for yourself just so you can have that validation. You definitely shouldn't take my word for it. You should read the word for yourself and fact check me, see if I'm doing right. But, you know, from reading, from studying, I mean, it's very clear who the true Israelites of the Bible are and who isn't. So keep on reading, keep on studying, send it to someone who may be an Israelite. Keep on reading and listening to this if you have any questions, but most importantly, ask questions, seek the truth, ask and it shall be given. So Shalom, thank you for your time, and continue to share, seek truth, and live righteously. Thank you again for tuning in to Cloud 10 Radio. Be sure to come back next week, tomorrow, whenever it is you come back and listen to some more content. Share, subscribe, but most of all praises to the Most High for the wisdom and understanding to where we can get this truth out about what is to come and the truth about the scriptures, truth about everything in this life. So thank you for supporting, and see you soon.